Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Oh, boy. This is going to be another incredible transmission today. Guys, will you give me my guest folder, please? Thank you. This is going to be an incredible transmission today. It is the 31st day of January 2012. Still taking time to get used to that. And the first month of 2012 is almost over. We are going to be here for the next 3 hours. And you know that Obama was in contempt of court earlier in the week concerning his birth certificate and evidence of the fact that he is truly a natural born citizen. And so we've got Dr. Jerome Corsi popping in to discuss that later on in the transmission with us. And, of course, Alan Watt as well is going to be on with us today. Where should I start? Well, when we come back from the break, obviously I have a lot of election news, economy news, Iran and Syria news, and I will get to all of that. Hillary Clinton is urging Security Council to act on Syria. She just promised a few months ago that there wouldn't be any action or talk of military action, but it's no longer military. Libya was not military. Bombing them for 6 months, putting al-Qaeda in charge, that was not military. And there won't be any congressional authorization, I guess, for this new peace mission. And the West reportedly has special forces in there advising the admitted al-Qaeda forces again that works for NATO. And you raise this point with a neocon or somebody, and it just doesn't compute. They're like, but I give my rights up and let the TSA grope my children and wife as a sacrament to fighting al-Qaeda. And then you explain to them, but the government admits they created them and are still using them. And they get all these different al-Qaeda people on the airplanes and protect them. And Muhammad Atta was brought into the U.S., Newsweek magazine, and the underwear bomber was put on the plane by the State Department, and that's all admitted, C-SPAN, congressional hearings, and Amir al-Awlaki, number three in al-Qaeda, dining secretly at the Pentagon, Fox News, and they're just like a robot that can't compute. They're like, cannot compute, and smoke starts coming out of their ears. So we're going to be discussing that as well. Also, this is in the Associated Press, New York Magazine, and the Wall Street Journal. MF Global's missing $1.2 billion, probably just vaporized. So the government knows where it was wired, most of it J.P. Morgan in London. That actually came out. But now everyone's going to act like, and the federal regulators, most of them that work for Corzine and people like him on record, they're just going to say, we don't know where the money went, and it doesn't matter if he got caught perjuring himself to Congress. That's just the way it is. We're breaking that down more. So money from MF Global, feared gone. After 2-3 months of stalling, 2.5 months, saying, you're going to get it, it'll take some time. I told you, you're not going to get it. Because the globalists are setting a precedent here now where they just take your money and run. Now, remember last year, Arkansas, under federal pressure and chemical company lobbying, passed a law saying all water systems must be fluoridated. And now in states like Michigan, they're harassing even old homesteaders that have private wells, saying you've got to have it tested by the government every month to drink out of your own well. People just ignore the criminal mafia government. But now New Jersey has passed a law forcing fluoridation. So we're going to be breaking down the arrogant forced medication by these globalists as well. The latest on Monsanto. By the way, I'm going to be speaking in Dallas and Orlando. I haven't really even talked about this yet, and it's coming up in the month of February. I'll tell you about that. And Billionaire Club and bid to curb overpopulation. I want to go back into this report. It's all coming up today.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, you saw the reports, even in the dinosaur media this week. President Barack Hussein Obama refused to show up to a court to a subpoena and was ruled in contempt. But, I mean, he launches wars without congressional approval and continues torture and secret arrest and signs laws saying he's a dictator or has dictatorial power. So, I mean, why not ignore a court ruling? Remember, Bill Clinton had to testify under a court ruling on sexual harassment, not election eligibility. And there's major evidence. The reason it went before the court is there's real evidence. I mean, we know he had someone else's Social Security number from Connecticut. That's confirmed. We know that the federal government ruled that his father wasn't really his father and kicked him out of the country saying it was a sham marriage. No kidding. If that guy is Obama's dad, I am a Easter Bunny jet pilot from the planet Uranus. It is just ridiculous. No resemblance. No genetic resemblance. It'd be like saying I look like, I don't know, Newt Gingrich. I look nothing like Newt Gingrich. It'd be like they said, Newt Gingrich is Alex Jones's dad. I mean, you just say, well, he doesn't look anything like him. Well, it's the same thing with Obama. Looks nothing like him. It'd be like saying, I don't know, the Queen of England's my mother. Oh, actually, that'll start a new conspiracy theory. Actually, Bill Hicks is my mother. You know, there's that conspiracy on the internet that I am really Bill Hicks. Yes. That's a good one. Okay, continuing here with serious news. We are broadcasting worldwide. It is the last day of January 2012. We will enter February. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday edition. And we have got just off the chart news that I'm going to try to contain myself with in a moment and not blow up. But let's just get into some of the main stories here today. From the political pile, we take you to Politico. CBO, Congressional Budget Office, reports another $1 trillion deficit. And now we're hearing about having to up the spending limits in Congress every few months instead of every few years. As the country gets deeper and deeper into debt to the banksters who get us into debt through fiat nothing. Since we went under the Federal Reserve System of 1913, and they have us signed on to their own debt as well. Now, Obama's getting ready for to really start campaigning officially, and it looks like, I've got some reports here, he's going to go back to the good old tried and true situation where he promises people free houses, free health care, free cars, free gas. Remember, all over the country, women mainly would say, oh, Mr. President, I'm going to get my free house and free car. Thank God you're probably going to get elected, when it looked like he was going to win in the polls. And then even after he got elected for a few months, they would say, thank you for the free house. I know I'm going to get it soon. And he would go along with them. And so he's back on the campaign trail making similar statements. There's a video of that if we have time to get to it. It's up at Infowars.com, but it's from Real Clear Politics. Now, here's another one. Joe Biden advised against the Osama bin Laden raid. Now, this is where they add kind of fictional background to make things look like it's real. Like, well, actually, the original story isn't true. Bin Laden didn't get in a firefight for 30 minutes with the Navy SEALs, or he didn't have bombs strapped to him, or they just kind of change the story over and over again. But still, by changing the story, it almost adds credence that it really happened and it's real in people's minds. Well, some of it's not true, but you know, overall, they did get bin Laden and they've been changing their story. They lied about the fact that the president was watching it live from that Situation Room and that photo was staged. Well, that day I saw that the photo was staged. They're all staging and looking tough, and you can see it's a staged photo. Hillary's got her hand up to her mouth, gasping at supposedly the kill shot. And the way he came out and announced it, you could see the PR propaganda rollout. Then the witnesses in Pakistan said they got on the plane, the helicopter, one of the stealth helicopters, with somebody in traditional Pakistani dress, and the helicopter blew up with everybody on board. And then I said, well, if that's true, we're going to get some scuttlebutt. And pretty soon we started getting some scuttlebutt that indeed some of SEAL Team 6 had been killed. But they started spinning it in the community and said, well, they died in some other actions. Then the helicopter, with 23 of them sardined on board, which they never do, on a National Guard helicopter, blows up a few months later. And then I talk to a Navy SEAL currently serving whose best buddy is in SEAL Team 6. And he says, well, most of them don't think like you do that it could have been the government, but some of them do. But they do know that it was weird how they were put on the helicopter. They were reportedly complaining about it, saying this is unusual. Where are we going? We're never put on these old helicopters. And you always split us up. And why are we being put on with regular Army people? And then inside the SEAL community, they think Al-Qaeda got a bomb on board. Sure. So they know it blew up. And then they changed the story. The SEALs had been going to save people, save Rangers who were pinned down in a firefight on a rescue mission. And then they were sent to kill a nest of Al-Qaeda. And then they were just sent somewhere. And then it turned out none of that was true. And so The SEALs, Lord bless them, know the helicopter was blown up. But they can't imagine that it was blown up by the bankers that run the military. Of course, you know what happened to Pat Tillman. He wrote letters home saying, they're growing the opium, this whole war is a fraud, I'm coming home to be anti-war. And the Pentagon said, we're not going to let our biggest recruiting tool turn against us. We'll have him charge an Al-Qaeda machine gun nest single-handedly. We'll give them some bronze stars. Nobody will go against the hero story. It's kind of like Let's Roll. What do we do? The happy hooligans out of the Dakotas who were assigned to Virginia refused orders. Their own general refused orders, ordered the shoot down during the stand down, and took down Flight 93. What do? Give them a Let's Roll story. Doesn't matter if the state police and everybody else saw the F-16s behind it, heard the explosion, miles and miles of debris field. We'll just show them one engine part where one engine went into the ground and call that the plane crash. We'll give them a hero story. They lap that up. Let's roll! I mean, you know, after all, Optimus Prime, Pentagon propaganda, pro-military movies and cartoons. You know, Autobots, let's roll. Roll out. In a fake John Wayne voice. Autobots, roll out. Transform and roll out. And it's the same thing. Pat Tillman charges the machine gun nest, fighting Al-Qaeda. He was hit twice, but still charged in, taking out an entire nest. He served America proudly until the Army, a colonel, coroner, said no, he was killed, homicide. He was shot with a three-burst M16 at close range. But not before he was shot at a distance first. And then it leaked out and was confirmed. He was up there. They got the hit team inserted. They start shooting him. He's only wounded with body armor. He's behind a rock begging for help. Hey, I'm Pat Tillman. Comes back up. I'm a Ranger. Shoot him again. He gets down. They get up and they go, we know you're a Ranger, pal. Shot him close enough to have powder burns. Three burst right across the front of the forehead. Or one burst, three rounds.
Fighting Al-Qaeda. Charging the hill.
Oh, yes. Oh, then there's Private Lynch. See, that's why I can't ever cover all the news. Because I start mentioning one article, and then I got to prove the bin Laden raid's fake. Buried at sea. It's Muslim tradition, not Muslim law, not tradition. All lies. Then hundreds of people get disciplinary actions trumped up on the very ship that were involved in it so they can give them disorderly conducts because they were leaking that it was all fake. Private Lynch cowered in fear as the men in the resupply convoy fought the Iraqi troops, the Republican Guard. Then she's in the hospital. 3 days before the Iraqis pull out, the Iraqi doctors go to the U.S., say she's here. They don't save her for 3 days. They get Jerry Bruckheimer, this is BBC, the Hollywood producer, one of the top guys in Hollywood, on record admits to consult by satellite on how to raid and act like they're fighting Republican Guard when they go in the hospital. Where's Jessica Lynch? Private Lynch, hiding under the bed. Because it was all going to be a big promotion rollout for women in the military. You know, she's up there with a knife in her, a K-bar knife in her teeth. She's like Audie Murphy, just on top of that truck. Just killing the Iraqis. She's really hiding in the back. Just all part of pure lies, pure fiction, pure garbage, just fed to you. And so you're not too smart. They jack your water with fluoride, sevenfold increase in cancer. Just search the term fluoride cancer, sevenfold increase, brain damage, accelerates every other toxin in the body. Top scientists, surgeons, brain surgeons, all on to tell you. And guess what? All over the U.S., states are passing laws to make you have it in your water. And now they're announcing they're not going to let you have well water. Oh, you haven't heard that? It's coming up. They're going to come and put taxes and regulations. It doesn't matter if you got a 200-year-old, 1,000-foot well into a crystal aquifer. You're going to pay taxes, and you're going to have to get it tested monthly, preemptively, so that you're forced to drink the fluoride water so your kids are brain damaged. That's all coming up. I haven't even gotten into the political stack yet. Oh, my gosh, you're going to want to stay with us.
Ira Hayes.
Ira Hayes.
Ira Hayes.
Call him drunken.
Call him drunken, Ira Hayes. He will answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war.
Let's get one thing straight here. We have an incredible military of men and women who have joined, by and large, because they do want to defend this republic and because they love this country. I've met them. I know them. On average, members of our military are, per capita, the best people in our society. And even though I bash police a lot when they do corrupt things because the system is trying to warp them and has done a pretty good job of doing that with the leadership, many of the best people in our society are police officers. When I was 15, 16, 17, not even so much naive. I knew that we had corrupt police where I was growing up in Dallas. Thinking about careers, I wanted to be a forest ranger because I like being out in the outdoors. I was thinking about being a professor, you know, a teacher, a cop. And my dad had a patient who at the time was the head federal marshal for this entire region. It was a multi-state region. And he my dad said, come in and meet this guy. And the guy was just about to retire, and he called me and he goes, are you a criminal? And I said, no. And he goes, well, are you ready to do things that are, you know, pretty much kind of criminal? And I said, not really. And he goes, well, then you might not want to be a federal marshal. He goes, things have changed. And I was just like, what? And of course, I wasn't even trying to be a federal marshal. I was just like saying, I don't know what I'm going to go to college for, Dad. I could be. I guess I'll be a school teacher, or I'll get a degree in animal husbandry and be a vet, a veterinarian, because I'd done work for a large animal vet and a small animal vet by the time I was about 13, or I guess about 12, actually, and on the summers. And I'm already digressing. The point is that was another wake-up call right there. But we have a global elite trying to sell us on their values, on secret arrest, on no due process, on torture, and how good it is to not have any liberties. But you notice as we lose our liberties, it's like oxygen going out the door, out the window. As we lose our basic freedoms, Our prosperity is disappearing. And of course, it's liberty that is the fertile soil and the sunshine and the water that allows human potential to sprout and to thrive. Freedom is what prosperity flows from. Every philosopher in history has realized this. Every historian knows this. But it's always criminal groups that don't care about prosperity. In fact, under feudalism, the elites hate prosperity because prosperity makes people uppity. Once you've gotten to a point in the hierarchy of needs, if you don't know what that is, folks, it's a psychological world structure, a way to look at things. I think it's very accurate. There's a higher, in fact, guys, when you Google hierarchy of new of a needs illustration or chart, it's a pyramid, that you first have to get food and shelter. Then you want to become secure. Then you want to find a mate and have a family and be accepted in your community. But after you've done all those things, the hierarchy of needs, if you're healthy, you then start wanting to help others because you realize that you're part of a larger human system. And it's a basic instinct of people that have become successful that once you get to that point, see, I've experienced things that most people never will. I've gotten to meet a lot of really famous people. I've gotten to see a lot of things that other people will never see. And I was a little starstruck 10 years ago and things when I would get a chance to meet really famous people. I was even somewhat starstruck 3 or 4 years ago. I've just now in the last few years gotten to the point where it's interesting to know famous people because a lot of times they're very interesting artists or researchers and they're neat. There's a reason they're famous. They have that something special about them. But now it is so satisfying to know that hype and fame and peer pressure mean nothing. Nothing. It is such the most valuable thing I have after my family and my fact that I have basic honor is that I could care less what people think about me. And of course, there's a nuance to that. I care what good people think about me. Or if I think I've done something that's wrong, I then want to make it right. But I don't care what scum thinks.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Yes, make no mistake, you have found it, the tip of the spear, the front lines of the info war. Dr. Jerome Corsi is going to be with us about 30, 40 minutes of the second hour, then I'll cover more news. We'll also open the phones up on the Obama situation in court where he has been found in contempt. Bill Clinton showed up for his court hearings, not Lord Obama. Of course, Karl Rove didn't show up for court hearings and just left the United States for a while back when he was being subpoenaed to courts and being ordered to appear. So it's just all part of the lawlessness that we see intensifying. Okay, I was starting to get into the news. I want to get into forced fluoridation here in a moment, forced inoculation, huge developments on that front, some big Monsanto news, huge financial news in Europe with a EU dictatorship in their own words being set up. Over the once sovereign nations to raise taxes to pay the bankers for their derivatives fraud. I mean, if this is the case, they should get Bernie Madoff out of jail, make him president of the world, and have him set global economic policy. But see, he's low level compared to them. Bernie Madoff is a low level person that made the mistake of robbing some rich people on the inside, and that's why they're going down. Corzine did the right thing, according to the New World Order Mafia, top White House financial advisor, a former New Jersey governor. We're now 2.5 months into this, and he went before Congress a month ago, and the head of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange said, no, I was on the phone when they did this with his chief executive officers. They told me when I said, why are you doing this? We've been given the order by John Corzine. Terrence Duffy went in front of Congress under oath, and a prepared statement was put out by the Chicago Mercantile Exchange saying that Corzine didn't know and that Duffy didn't know. But when Duffy actually got in testimony, he starts reading the statement and then changes it and looks up and says, I was on the phone with him and he gave the order. Because, see, Duffy's thinking, if this comes down, if this falls apart, I didn't commit the crime here. I knew they did it, but now if I lie when there's all these witnesses, but of course, there's the Congress. They're involved in insider trading and get caught and tell the public they're allowed to, which they're not. It's like you catch somebody murdering somebody and they go, well, I'm allowed to murder. No, you're not. Well, I'm allowed to launch wars without congressional approval. No, you're not. Well, I'm allowed to order torture because I'm the president. Remember Bush's book last year came out? He said, well, I can order torture because I'm the president. Really? Can you go pick up a prostitute in downtown D.C. and go behind a building and blow her brains out or maybe knock her teeth out? No, you can't. You're not above the law. Hitler wasn't. Stalin wasn't. Obama isn't. Karl Rove isn't. Newt Gingrich isn't. Mitt Romney isn't. I'm not above the law. You're not above the law. Nobody's above the law. And when governments start telling you they're above the law, look out. Hitler did that. It was called the Hitler Precept. Or the Nuremberg called it the Hitler Precept after his name. It was called the Führer Precept by the Germans. Or the Leader Precept. Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer. One people, one land, one leader. Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer. And presidents come and go. Obama is now, for all intents and purposes, behaving like a dictator and sees many powers of a dictator. But it doesn't mean he himself is a dictator. That office, controlled by the globalists and special interest, has now become one. And that's why the system is torpedoing Newt Gingrich right now. Mitt Romney has the same pedigree politically, is a total globalist, would vote exactly like Newt Gingrich. The difference is, Mitt Romney is a corporate shill and knows to follow orders 100% and has proven it. Newt Gingrich has a man with big ideas. Newt Gingrich is a leader in a bad way. Newt Gingrich is a man on fire. Newt Gingrich would tell people when he was a kid he was going to be president. Newt Gingrich will lie like you've never seen, and he wants power for himself and hates other people around him and those above him. And the elite do not want Newt Gingrich in there because he'd actually try to be a president like Richard Nixon, who was bad in a lot of ways, but actually tried to be president. And that's why they're destroying Newt Gingrich. And again, I'm scared of Newt Gingrich. I fully understand. And by scared, I mean he's dangerous. I know he's super dangerous. Same way I'm scared of a truck going down the highway 100 miles an hour. I know to get out of, you know, the way of it. And so the issue is the establishment is concerned about him as well, because he's the type that would try to actually double cross the globalist. Mittens, Romney, not so much. I mean, look, the last head of Bain Capital is just going to be a replace the mob boss Daley that they had then there from the Chicago crew in there in the Obama White House. So, I mean, it's one happy, disgusting pea pod with these folks. And Ron Paul is turbocharging, obviously, and is really in second place. And after Newt Gingrich is destroyed, who's left? Ron Paul. They've already tried to destroy him. And he's going to end up getting more delegates in Maine than he would have gotten in Florida, which is winner take all. So that's why he's not focusing on Florida. Loves Florida, cares about Florida, but he also knows the fix is in down there. I mean, you guys are as famous as Illinois. And I'm not knocking Florida. Beautiful, great state. Hey, LBJ was fixing elections in Congress in the 40s here in Texas. So we're bad, too. It's just Florida has been caught over and over again, like Ohio and Illinois. I mean, it's been proven to have so much fraud, it'll make your head spin in elections for a long time. Like Florida takes second place in election fraud after Illinois. But here it is. MF Global's missing $1.2 billion, probably just vaporized. And the feds know it was wired to J.P. Morgan. They know it was in the news at the time that, oh, yeah, it was sent over to J.P. Morgan, but we're going to get some of that back. And then now the media, the Congress, everyone plays dumb. When you wire $1,000, the feds know where it goes. It's all tracked. When you wire $10,000, a criminal investigation report is filed. When you deposit that, it is reviewed. Suspicious transaction. But you're going to believe that $1.2 billion is wired to England, the lion's share of it, to the division of J.P. Morgan Chase. This came out in Forbes, AP, Bloomberg. This came out 2 days after it broke. And then now everyone's acting stupid. Oh, we don't know where the money went. We don't know where. Oh, well, we found it. You're going to get it back. Just don't sue us. Just wait. Just wait. Let us have the congressional hearings. Corzine gets up and says, I know nothing as CEO. I have no idea. And the head of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange goes, I'm not going along with this. He was there. He gave the orders. We were concerned about it. And we're on the phone when the decision was made on this date. And you see all the lawyers around him going, looking at him like, oh, a hit team's coming for you, pal. I mean, the point is this is getting really chutzpah, naked, bravado filled. They're getting really wild. I mean, this lunatic Corzine was making 40-to-1 bets with other people's money. And according to Max Kaiser, who's got incredible sources, he called Iceland 2 years before it happened. You know, he runs in these circles, worked for many years with George Soros' son. He said he talked to the sources, and they said that the head of J.P. Morgan called up Corzine and said, look, you're dead if you don't give us that money. And that's how these guys in the past have worked. These are gangsters. They run the country. They run the military. They run it all. They're like, look, you gave us our money, or it's over. So he went and took people's private bank accounts. And now New York Magazine, all of them are like, nobody knows. Just forget it. You're not getting it. Because Papa J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs is reportedly involved in there as well. The bankrupt brokerage firm MF Global still can't account for some $1.2 billion in customer funds, but an ongoing investigation imagines that a significant amount of the money vaporized during the company's crashing and burning. Oh, just went into the end of the rainbow as a golden pot somewhere. If you know the leprechaun password, he'll give it to you. Here's another one. Money from MF Global, feared gone. Wall Street Journal. This is the naked, lawless, out-of-control garbage that we're dealing with. And these crook bankers are shutting down all the small banks with the regulators they control, taking over our economy, getting tax incentives to move offshore, getting bailout money to move businesses and factories overseas. Everything. And what's the only growth area? FBI, federal marshals, police, TSA, armies of intelligence agents, spies to go after the American people. They are arming up against us. Now, I want to go to a special report we've got here. And then we're going to come back from break and get into sodium fluoride. But you know, last March, the legislature in Arkansas passed a law saying cities are passing laws when they see the medical evidence that fluoride gives you cancer and brain damage. We're just going to pass a law that you've got to take fluoride. We're going to put it in your water by law. Now, New Jersey has passed a law doing this. New Jersey Assembly panel passes bill to add fluoride to public supply. And now they've got reports out of Michigan that they're going, and other states, they're going to shut down and not let you use your own well. I mean, folks, these are control freaks. Going after the Amish, going after the Girl Scout cookies, going after the lemonade stands all over the country, going after tomato sellers, pecan sellers, people selling jam. The mafia says, you don't do jack without our approval and paying us a cut. You go to a big box store and get something made in China with melamine in it for your kids. FDA says it's good for them. Radiation levels have gone up. They had another reactor. The AP is reporting release more radiation. Not even an issue. We raise the level. We say it's safe. Because the mafia says it's safe. And we're taking your bank account. In fact, I saw an article last week. I didn't even cover it. Government raids federal pension funds. I even forgot to print that. I forgot that. It's coming in so fast, I can't even cover it anymore. Do you understand this? They are going for broke, stealing everything. All you cops, FBI, the rest of you, when they're done, you're going to have nothing as well. Remember that. But you'll still have your little authority and your power trip. Now, here's a part of the report. We're going to hear an expanded version with Darren McBreen with us live in studio tonight, 7 o'clock Central at PrisonPlanet.tv. This is Darren McBreen, our reporter, out talking to local Austinites about aspartame, the defecation of a bioweapons bacteria produced by the Pentagon in 1963, that they finally got approval after three rounds in 1979 with Monsanto when they bought Searle. And it is an addictive excitotoxin that causes brain damage, pancreatic cancer, you name it. It breaks down into formaldehyde in the bloodstream. But it's very addictive. Most poisons are addictive. Arsenic's addictive. And so here's his report. We're going to have an expanded part two, and Darren in studio with us this evening. Here is that report, and then we're going to skip this network break. We're going to continue with the forced fluoridation, the forced inoculation laws now finally going into place. They always ran the hoax. It was the law. Now that people are standing up, taking their cities back, the globalists are like, no, 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 no. You're going to drink our toxic waste. Here's the report on aspartame.
Thousands of popular diet and sugar-free foods and beverages contain an artificial sweetener that researchers say may cause cancer. The ingredient is aspartame, and it is by far the most dangerous substance on the market that is added to our foods. Aspartame is an artificial sweetener found in thousands of products worldwide, and chances are you are consuming it. It's added to sugar-free gum, juice beverages, tabletop sweeteners like Equal and NutraSweet. It's in cereals, soft drinks, yogurt, breath mints, multivitamins, wine coolers, and even over-the-counter medicines. The toxic long-term effects of aspartame are often dismissed as a hoax by the sweetener industry. However, numerous independent controlled studies using human subjects have concluded that aspartame is deadly. Now, there's a number of studies that claim that aspartame is completely safe to consume, but the vast majority of those studies were conducted by, well, you guessed it, the aspartame industry. In fact, groups like Monsanto, J.D. Searle, and ILSI concluded that aspartame posed no health risk. But that's about as credible as Marlboro, Camel, and Winston dismissing the link between cigarette smoking and cancer. Have you heard of aspartame?
Yes, I've heard of it before.
Have you heard good things or bad things?
I hear mostly bad things about it.
What kind of bad things?
Just like it's an artificial sweetener and it's bad for your health and you should try to stay away.
I've heard it's an artificial sweetener and I'm guilty of drinking beverages sweetened with it. However, it degenerates and it does harmful things.
What do you think about aspartame?
I don't like it. It gives me headaches.
They did studies on rats. It supposedly causes cancer.
Even Fox News recently reported in 2005 that artificial sweeteners had been linked to a wide range of cancers after studying involving rats. So these rats actually had tumors the size of golf balls. So does that concern you when you hear stuff like that?
Greatly, yes. And the FDA is supposed to be protecting us from things like cancer, not giving it to us and telling us it's safe.
You cannot go to the grocery store now and buy any type of even regular sugar gum that hasn't had aspartame added to it. In the 1970s, Searle tried to get it approved and they couldn't. It took them three separate times because in their own studies with monkeys, large portions of them that were fed it died and contracted cancer. Now we have mainstream news articles, and the EU has done a major study finding lower birth weights, early birth, and yes, miscarriages from women that drink aspartame-laden soft drinks like Coke Zero.
Do you think that aspartame should be on the market today?
No.
Why not? because it hasn't been demonstrated to be safe.
The FDA looked at the research and in 1975 put aspartame's approval on hold. It set up an independent panel of doctors to study aspartame. In 1980, that public board of inquiry unanimously ruled aspartame should not go on the market. Edith was drinking a cup of low-calorie hot chocolate that night. Aspartame made it sweet. And Johnson says aspartame made her sick.
All of a sudden, I couldn't see. My eyes went out of focus and it was like my vision became quite blurred.
And you think it's because of aspartame?
I think it's very deliberately because of aspartame, yes.
It was terrifying.
Kate Randall thought she was going crazy.
I started popping in my hands and twitching in my feet, my legs, my knees, my upper legs and shoulders and arms and everywhere.
Many of these individuals who have been aspartame reactors have tested themselves 5, 10, 20 times. Every time getting the same response, and then they realized that this was a legitimate cause and effect relationship.
What is aspartame? It is the fecal matter of the E. coli bacteria. They took it and genetically engineered it. They can feed it toxic waste, and then it defecates aspartame. And it has so many bad health effects, it's just unspeakable.
How do you think a product like that was managed to be approved by the FDA?
Oh, I think there's loopholes to everything.
I say shut the FDA down. Shut down any government agency that's not doing its job.
Would you think that possibly the FDA is corrupt?
I'm going to go ahead and say no. I trust the FDA with my health.
Do you think there's a chance the FDA could be corrupt?
About as big a chance as any other part of our government.
Now, the FDA approval of aspartame was highly contested and subject to multiple congressional hearings and scientific criticism. In fact, aspartame was continuously rejected by the FDA for over 15 years until it was finally approved in 1981. Since that time, the FDA has published a list of 92 symptoms of aspartame poisoning, which includes headaches, vision loss, including blindness, seizures, neurological problems, cardiovascular problems, and death. The FDA even admits adverse reactions to aspartame comprise about 80% of consumer complaints it reaches each year. Yet the dangerous substance remains on the market and is consumed by millions of people every single day. I'm Darren McBreen for InfoWars Nightly News.
All right, great job from Darren on that front. We're going to get into fluoride being forcibly out of the water here in a moment. But just expanding on this, you notice in the last 5, 6, 7 years, something big has happened. All of these companies have come out with stevia or other artificial sweeteners, and they advertise, and most people now try to bypass aspartame. So what did the aspartame makers do? They proliferated. It is in most sugar candy. Read the back. It is in chocolate bars. It is in almost every form of sugar gum. I know I've got children, and I go to the grocery store, and you cannot find it without it. It's in most of the over-the-counter medication you take, just spiked into pills you're supposed to just swallow anyways. It is in all sorts of different foods, tens of thousands. And it is addictive. It is a neurotoxin. And I talk to so many people, young and old, who are going, yeah, I got macular degeneration. I'm losing my sight. They won't tell me why. And it's well known in the studies that it made the monkeys go blind. And what do you think wood alcohol does? What do you think old moonshine that it made right and gets wood alcohol in it does? It makes you go blind. It's grain alcohol. It's what you want to be drinking if you're going to do that. It breaks down in, just look it up for yourself. And I know most of you know this, but it just illustrates how out of control the system is. Now, look at this article. And I've got a couple of these. New Jersey Assembly Panel passes bill to add fluoride to public water. I did a video on this last night. It's up at InfoWars.com. Water companies in New Jersey would be required to add fluoride to the water supply under a bill approved Monday by an assembly panel at the urging of dentists and public health professionals. Despite objections from environmentalists and utility officials, they don't tell you here that the majority of the EPA's and FDA scientists have gone public to Congress, thousands of them signing letters saying it gives you cancer. that it causes brain damage. They just act like urging from the dentist. You mean the American Dental Association, who's been forced to tell people under five not to brush with it? It says on the back it's poison. It actually causes dental fluorosis and dental problems. And it's not just sodium fluoride they're adding. It's toxic waste, hundreds of chemicals they call fluoride. But regardless, let's say it's the best thing since sliced bread. The government's going to force Medicaid us, and counties and cities pass laws saying get it out. Before, it was just lobbyists paying them to do it. And they say, oh, we're going to pass state law and make you do it. And then I saw an article. I've got it here in my stack out. We're all over the country. Michigan was the first article I saw. They're coming in and saying, we've got to certify your well is safe. You've got to sit in for testing every month to us. Why don't you just get on fluoridation? We're gonna tax you to use your own well water as well. Here's one out of Arkansas. State passes fluoridation law. Coalition created. And it goes on to say a statewide fluoridation measure and two other bills aimed at improving oral health in Arkansas were passed and signed into law. Pushed by the State Dental Association, who's paid off by the big chemical makers. And just type in fluoride bone cancer, fluoride brain damage, fluoride pineal gland, thyroid malfunction. You wonder why women all got their hair falling out, why women almost, now it's upward in some areas, half the women, on average over 30%, have thyroid problems. Just killing our women especially. And they just get away with it. They just get away with all of it. They think it's funny. And now in California, they're saying we're going to inoculate your kids without authorization. Okay, I want to make some announcements before we go to break and come back with Dr. Jerome Corsi. And then Alan Watt, always informative, is going to be joining us to look at the overall system of the New World Order. I'm going to be speaking at two different events. The Lakeway Theater, the 19th of February. It's a Sunday in Dallas, Texas. It only holds about 900 people. It sold out 6 years ago when I was there. So get your tickets at Infowars.com/events. It links through the Lakeway Theaters where you get them. For $25, that includes all the event fees and taxes and garbage. We're really charging about $18 when it gets to the end of it. You know, to see Glenn Beck's $500. And I know I could get people to pay that, but I don't want to fly around on private jets. It's just, it's $25. And again, we're also going to be in Florida on the 26th in Orlando, where we're number one on the radio on 810 a.m., the big 810 a.m. They're putting on, I'll do my radio show live there as the doors open at 5 o'clock, then at 7 Eastern. When the show's over, I'll get up and give an hour and a half speech called Blueprint to Defeat the New World Order that I'm working on. And I'm working on a mini documentary that complements that, about 30 minutes long, that'll premiere at both. Get tickets at InfoWarsTeam.com. And, of course, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex station, a great station, is KKGM 1630 Blowtorch that carries us live during the day. We're on there right now as well. They're sponsoring it as well. So it's an association with all those folks. Find out more at Infowars.com/. And today is the last day. Thank you, John, for reminding me. I told him to remind me yesterday. It's the last day for the early bird special that we've done in December and then in January. 44% off on a yearly membership. You pay for 6.7 months. You get 5.3 months free. You get the nightly news, all my films, my book, Paul Watson's book, the higher quality video and audio podcast commercial free, and so much more. 9 years in April, we've had PrisonPlanet.tv, and we have a 15-day free trial as well. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now into hour number two. Dr. Jerome Corsi is going to be joining us coming up in the next segment. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And as you know, it has now come out that Obama is in contempt of court. Obama's lawyers outlined subpoena defense for court appearance. That came out last week, but then they didn't show up. Obama accused of contempt of court in birther hearing. Secretary of State warns Obama mishearing at your own peril, and he did miss it. So we're going to be talking about that, and then global anti-globalist researcher Alan Watt is going to be joining us as well. And I will open the phones up for Dr. Corsi for your questions specifically surrounding the birth certificate. You agree with him, you disagree, you've got questions. He's a very credible researcher, and all I can say is, you look at the fact that even the federal government threw his dad out of the country and said, looks like it's a sham marriage. His dad looks nothing like him. George W. Bush, it turns out, quietly during the election, sent letters to the Kenyan government. They went and looked for his birth records and said that they'd been removed. Why would there even be birth records there if he wasn't born there? And his grandma says he was born there. And then, really the coup de grace that I'll repeat when we come back from break, because some stations don't carry this segment. The creme de la creme, the final blow, is the fact that he used somebody else's Social Security number. Question is, who gave him that? Well, the facts is his whole family was CIA. He was given a Connecticut Social Security number and allowed to use it and didn't get in trouble when it was pointed out. So this is really starting to come to a head. We're going to be discussing that with Dr. Corsi. Now, I don't feel like I got angry enough. Last night, when Aaron Dykes walked in here at about 6 o'clock, and said, have you seen that New Jersey passed a law that you're forcibly fluoridated? I just shot a video right there on my iPhone and uploaded it. I was so mad. And then today, again, it's almost like I've just been conditioned to accept their criminality. All over the United States, they're strong-arming. The feds are coming in with money. Companies are coming in, buying off politicians, getting involved in local elections, or having state legislatures pass laws that, according to the Nuremberg Code, are unconstitutional. You cannot forcibly medicate somebody or experiment on them. And now government's saying we want to put statins in the water, lithium in the water. The federal government's proposing it. They're proposing making U.S. troops take lithium because they're committing suicide so much. Oh, yeah, turn them all into drug heads because you're not paying them enough to live. Their families are falling apart. They're sick from DU. I was reading other articles last night about the tank crew guys that maintenance them and how they're all dying of cancer. I mean, because they're using DU that ignites in the barrel, and you're cleaning that out, and you're breathing it. Of course they're stealing the pension funds of the military. Now, here's an article out of Natural News, but it links through to the State Department and Treasury Department announcements. U.S. Treasury raids federal employee pension funds to cover debts. There's a saying, desperate times call for desperate measures. They've been changing the laws for years to take pensions. Bush actually did that. I told you they're coming for him. Roughly, it's an expression that means to be reassuring, conjuring up an image of a true statesman-like leader who is prepared to do whatever is necessary to lead the masses out of danger. Of course, the expression doesn't mean the same connotation when it's applied to Obama administration, its futile struggle to balance the national books. They don't want to balance it. They're wrecking us for offshore banks. It's globalism. In a letter to Congress earlier this week, Treasury Secretary Geithner said he would be unable to invest fully the federal employees' retirement system. And then it goes on to talk about setting up IOUs and raiding that like they've already done Social Security. I'll get to more of that later. It's just, the criminals that run government are acting like nothing's going to be even here soon.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All these years, they've run the hoax that it's a law to take vaccines. And as record numbers of people refuse to take vaccines, they're now passing laws in California and other areas saying, we'll vaccinate your children without parental consent. It's the same thing in the provinces or sub-states up in Canada. They have Calgary and other big cities and areas saying that they are not going to fluoridate anymore. So their federal government's rushing in, trying to get the provincial government to pass those laws. This is the control freak government. And I just cannot get over the fact that in New Jersey now and in Arkansas, they've passed laws saying you must drink fluoridated water. And this only happened as the citizens got involved and went in and started getting their counties, their cities to remove it. I mean, they just had a county, one of over a million people in Florida, remove it 2 months ago. I mean, it's because they have medical doctors going up and showing them the admitted studies of cancer, brain damage, and that it's not just fluoride they add. It's hundreds of toxic chemicals left over from the aluminum smelting industry, nuclear weapons production, and the phosphate mining. This is stuff they can't put on the crops from the phosphate mines for fertilizer, but then they put it in your water. Industry lobbyists got government in the 50s to put it in your water. And it just shows how criminal these people are. And now they're talking about forcibly putting lithium in our water and statins in our water, so we're healthy and making three-year-olds start taking statins. Later, I want to get into a London Times article from 2009 because I noticed in their archives they've removed it, but we had saved it. Billionaire club in bid to curb overpopulation. We just saved a snippet. Global Research, it turned out, saved the whole thing. We do that because they'll deep six these. ABC News reported on Bill Gates and others meeting in secret for plans to reduce world population, George Soros, Warren Buffett. And that's what their initiatives really are about, reducing population. I'm going to put together a report in the next week just showing clips of Bill Gates where he admits this versus, oh, he's doing all this to take care of everybody. Very, very important. I want to get into that. We're working on getting Dr. Corsi on. He's having a Skype problem, or we are right now. Hillary Clinton urges Security Council to act on Syria. That's big news we're going to get into. Also, is Monsanto buying out Whole Foods? We've done the research. The answer is no. But they've used the government basically to pressure their GMOs onto their store shelves. And that's why for now about a year they have signs up saying, we capitulate. It's most of the crops are GMO now. You're going to have to eat it. So that's a big deal. We're going to be getting in to that report. Also, more on scientists creating bird flu superbug that could set off next global pandemic while posing as our saviors. That's what the globalists are constantly doing. But to understand all of this, the system sells us that they're taking our rights and liberties to protect us. But then statistically, government is the number one cause of death via these control freaks. By the way, a program note, we secured several thousand of Bloodlines of the Illuminati, all that there are right now in print, because it was from such a small little on-demand place that was essentially out of print. And we couldn't even secure a supply of it, so I went ahead and just paid, working with the author, to print a bunch of these, and I thought we'd have 6 months' supply. In just 5 days, we've sold out around a third, I guess, of the books we have. It's going to end up completely selling out at this pace in a week or two. So if you want to get Bloodlines of the Illuminati before we sell out of it again, it's available at Infowars.com. This has always been an extremely hot book. This thing sells for as high as, you know, $200, $300, four times, five times, six times what we sell it for on Amazon and eBay. Check it out for yourself. So you can get the phone book size book full of documents, you name it. That is an extremely powerful book to understand the globalist mindset and why they're into rituals and the occult and skull and bones. And it's the real blueprint for Eyes Wide Shut. It came out, of course, before Eyes Wide Shut. And it's Bloodlines of the Illuminati. It was such an important book that I made sure it came back into print and at an affordable price at Infowars.com or call 888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. This video has been our hottest seller in films, and I'm glad, well, I'm in it, but so are incredible researchers, proving that Oklahoma City was and is an inside job to bring in tyranny, as Ron Paul warned, and it's an inside job, as Ron Paul, of course, wrote back in 1995 in his newsletters. They're trying to demonize him with that right now. That just only adds to his credibility. Get A Noble Lie, Oklahoma City, 1995. Available at Infowars.com. And don't forget your purchase of the books, the videos, the tapes supports this broadcast. It is also essential, whether you're listening to us in Florida or Texas or New York or California or Michigan or Kansas or Illinois. I mean, we're on in all 50 states. Wherever you're listening to us, support that local station by spreading the word about the broadcast and supporting their sponsors, or of your local business, being a sponsor of the show. And I want to thank all of our wonderful affiliates as well out there. We couldn't do what we're doing here, obviously, without you. And that's where we reach the monster audiences. We reach about 1 million people a day at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. About 700,000 with the audio streams and the podcast combined, audio stream-wise. But that can always be shut off easily by the globalist. The fact that we're on XM and now over 100 AM and FM stations, that's where we're reaching just millions and millions more people. Sure, we reach millions every week on YouTube as well, but altogether 15 million a week, and we couldn't do any of this without you. Okay, shifting gears now, we have Dr. Jerome Corsi, of course, who wrote the Swift Boat book that brought down John Kerry. He's written many other best-selling books. He was critical of George Bush and wrote books exposing the North American Union, the NAFTA superhighways, and I think was one of the chief focal points of helping expose that globalist plan to take over 84 of our interstate highways and put toll roads on them that really devastated, for the time being, the North American security perimeter that's back under Obama. But he's done the research, so has Philberg and others, and I've got to say it's very credible. And since then, they've gone from laughing at us and running that hoax in Vanity Esquire? I forget the big publication that ran the hoax, saying that they had retracted their book about where's the birth certificate when they hadn't, to try to hurt the book. That was directly out of the White House, clearly. And now it's come out that his Social Security number was somebody else's in fake in Connecticut and was given to him by somebody in the government, that most of his family was CIA, that Bush, of course, reported, it came out years after, had sent delegates to envoys to Kenya to say, where's his birth certificate? And they said, it's been destroyed and removed. Don't you get it? It wouldn't be there to be destroyed or removed. Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Sotaro, if it had never been there to begin with. And his grandmother says he was born there. But now he's in contempt of court. And Bill Clinton even showed up for court hearings he had to go to for sexual harassment. And so the attorney general of that state is warning him. Secretary of State warns Obama, mishearing at your own peril. Joining us is Dr. Jerome Corsi. And I'm going from memory here. Wasn't it, what was the big magazine? I can't remember.
You're right. It was Esquire.
It was Esquire. So how is that lawsuit going?
A lawsuit is pending. The judge has to decide on Esquire's motion to dismiss. But as soon as the judge decides on that motion, the court ought to go forward with the case. So we're waiting. It just takes a long time.
All right. Let's continue here, doctor. Let's start with the basics for new listeners, because I was on a radio show in Florida on 8:10 a.m., one of our affiliates, a Doc Holliday show, and he was bringing up, what's going on with the birth certificate? Crystallize it for me, Alex. Why do we question this? Well, I want to ask you the same question.
Well, first of all, the birth certificate's been called into question from the very beginning. Obama wouldn't show the original birth certificate. He produced a short-form certification of live birth. And then on April 27th, just before my book was going to come out, the White House suddenly releases this long-form birth certificate, which Donald Trump was also pressing, saying, where's the birth certificate? And what the White House released turned out to be a forgery. We do not have yet the original documentation released from the vault of the Hawaii Department of Health. I mean, if instead of releasing a PDF file, a computer file, and some Xerox copies, which is what the White House released of the long-form birth certificate on April 27th, the White House released an electronic file. And as soon as you opened the electronic file, you could see that it had layers in it. It was electronically created. Within hours, there were videos on YouTube showing that the file was not a scan of a paper document.
Yeah, but what about the Connecticut Social Security? When the guy's got somebody else's Social Security number, boom!
Well, in fact, we've been reporting. Susan Daniels, a private investigator, did the work on this about 2 years ago, found out the Social Security number Barack Obama's using was issued in Connecticut, a state Barack Obama's never lived in, nor did his family. I mean, even Bill O'Reilly on Fox News was covering for Obama, saying, well, Barack Obama's father lived in Connecticut when he went to Harvard. That's not true. He did not live in Connecticut, Barack Obama Sr. And this was issued, the The Social Security number President Obama was using today was issued in the late 1970s. Barack Obama Sr., the father, was gone, deported from the United States in 1964, and Barack Obama Sr. never lived there. The card was originally issued to someone who was born in 1890. So let's say someone in the late 1970s, someone who is advanced in their years, maybe an 80-year-old person, a woman, never worked, suddenly wants a Social Security number, get health benefits, applies, and dies. That's the kind of number that's perfect for identity.
All right, stay there. We got you on a bit late because of Skype problems. We're going to come right back, Doc, and I want to get into this contempt of court, what this means, back into the other fake certificate, and the fact that this issue won't go away despite the fact they announced the whole Bin Laden raid right after they put out the fake birth certificate to try to cover all this up. We'll be right back. So things are really starting to heat up right now. Bill Clinton, when he got subpoenaed to court over sexual harassment, he showed up. He did the video deposition. But Obama, he didn't show up, and now the Attorney General of the state where this happened is getting upset. I want to get into that first, Doc, and get your take on that. But then I want to go back into the latest on the fake birth certificate.
The hearing was in Georgia, and it occurred last week. It was a Georgia administrative law judge who has the authority to decide on this case who should or should not be on the Georgia ballot for president. This is a presidential primary ballot first in 2012, this year. And the case was brought by citizens in Georgia arguing that Obama was not eligible to be president under Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, either because his father was a Kenyan and that made Barack Obama a dual citizen at birth, not a natural-born citizen, or because the birth certificate was forged and false, and Obama, there's no proof Obama was born in Hawaii. That was the argument. Now, the judge sent a subpoena issued by one of the attorneys, Orley Tates, to have President Obama appear at the trial, and President Obama refused. Also, the attorney for Obama, a guy named Jablonski, sent a letter to the Secretary of State of Georgia asking for this hearing to be stopped. Secretary of State refused to stop the hearing, said that the president and his attorney were not appearing at their own risk. In fact, the judge had a motion to dismiss the case from the attorney from the president. The judge refused to accept that motion, said that he did not accept the legal arguments that Obama did not have to have two U.S. citizen parents at birth. And when Obama didn't show up, Alex, this is in a sense a default. In other words, the judge was saying, well, he could just issue a default judgment immediately against the president. But I think the lawyers appropriately for the plaintiffs said, we want to present testimony. Because now there's a court record for the first time. It's historic. Both in Obama's case and for a U.S. sitting president, first time their eligibility has been questioned substantively in a court hearing. And without the president or his attorney presenting arguments, if the judge makes a decision, hopefully that decision will be on substantive grounds now, not just a default, because a substantive determination by the judge that Obama is not eligible to be on the Georgia primary presidential ballot this year would be very hard for the president to overturn on appeal.
This is a big deal, and we're not seeing a lot of corporate prostitute dinosaur media coverage of this. They wanted to just come out with their hoax with the new birth certificate, have Bin Laden come out a week later to kind of overshadow that and just move on. But more and more people realize just how illegitimate Obama is.
Well, it shows like yours, Alex, and I think the work we're doing at WND.com, which we've been writing about this for years, my book, Where's the Birth Certificate? There's millions of Americans that know they're being lied to by the White House on Obama's eligibility. It's never been vetted.
And notice he released that the week before your book was going to come out. I mean, they were scared of your book.
That's right. And then the Bin Laden assassination or hit, whatever you want to call it, occurred right afterwards. So you've clearly got a wag the dog effect. And the mainstream media went right along with it. As soon as that April 27th, the White House released the birth certificate, the media said, okay, nothing to see here. Now let's all move on. They didn't question, is this a legitimate document? Why have we waited 3 years to see it? Why can't we see the original documents that remain hidden away in Hawaii, the original birth documents? Why do we have all these contradictory reports? The governor said there was only a line item entry in the index of births in Hawaii on Obama's birth. If the governor looked for this long-form birth certificate, why didn't the governor find it? I think increasingly the evidence is mounting that this long-form birth certificate is a forged document, which means ultimately a felony was committed in the White House on behalf of Obama, and the mainstream media is covering it up.
Well, I go back to the magazine article coming out and saying you'd retracted, you'd discredited, you'd admitted it was a fraud. Joseph Farah had admitted it was a fraud, and that you were offering retail back, which would bankrupt you on average, what you probably sell a book for 35% of its retail to these big distributors to be the on the end cap, maybe 40%. So right. That wouldn't just knock you out for the 100,000 or whatever books you'd printed. It would also hurt you in having to pay that money back. That was an attempt to totally economically engage in espionage against you. And that shows how scared they were. If this book was a bunch of bull, and if you hadn't brought down top globalists before, they wouldn't have come after you. We're going to come back and cover that. And remember, the Kenyan government said the records of his birth have been removed, criminally destroyed. And we can show those documents. They're online.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I should add that Dr. Corsi's had a distinguished career. After he got his PhD from Harvard University in political science in 1972, I know he's done all sorts of interesting work. What is it for the State Department around the world and other things?
I have State Department top secret clearance through the Agency for International Development in the early 80s. I worked on hostage survival techniques for embassy personnel around the world.
And a lot of other things you can't talk about, obviously. So you're not just some wild guy out here attacking Obama or a crazy guy exposing the North American Union, which was official. I remember the Trans-Texas Highway, part of the NAFTA Highway, official government maps. Ron Paul talked about it 5 years ago, and CNN said he was insane and it didn't exist, and they tried the same stuff with you.
Well, I spent 25 years in financial services. I worked with banks all over the world. I changed careers and became a journalist in 2004 after I co-authored with John O'Neill Unfit for Command, the Swift Boat book against John Kerry. And I've written, I think, 14 books since 2004, five New York Times bestsellers. Two of them were number one New York Times bestsellers.
So they were scared of you. And again, that's the real evidence that it's credible, not just using somebody else's Social Security number, not just the government saying his dad basically wasn't his dad, a sham marriage. That's now come out. I think one of the biggest things is that the Bush administration quietly checked with their government and got the letter back. And they said, well, it's been removed. Well, if something was removed from his birth, there wouldn't be anything to remove if he wasn't born in Kenya.
Well, that's right. I did extensive research in Kenya. I was in Kenya. I was detained in Kenya, deported from Kenya for wanting to do a press conference revealing the ties between Obama and Odinga, who's now the prime minister. Look, the Kenyan government has notified the U.S. government. There's reason to believe that there was a systematic destruction of birth records in Kenya so as to remove the evidence of Obama's birth in Kenya. And the documents are missing, not because they never existed, but the birth documents in Kenya are missing because the government removed them from the public files. Alex, the reason the attorney for the White House did not show up in the Georgia hearing is because the White House knew they would lose. If these issues were really adjudicated in a fair court or given a fair hearing to the American people, I think shows like yours would bring the truth forward. And The president can't stand the light of day on these issues. The real documents, the original birth documents in Hawaii that are supposed to exist, are still under steel. They're still secret. You can't see them. I can't see them. We have to believe the Xerox copies handed out by the White House and the electronic file. There was no electronic birth certificate in 1961. It's a complete forgery. It was created on a computer, and it's a lie. And the American people, I think, are catching on to this. Barack Obama has lied about being adopted in Indonesia. It was Barry Sotoro or Barry Soibarka. We have that information now in his mother's passport application. When she removed Barry Sotoro from her passport, put down Soibarka, when they were in Indonesia, when Barry Sotoro, what is his real name, was there from ages 6 to 10. We don't have school records. You can't get his applications to Occidental or Columbia or Harvard or whether he got foreign student loans. Can't get his passport records. This is the most hidden president, you know, that we've ever had in American history. And it's that way for a reason, because Barack Obama cannot stand for American people to know the truth, which is he's not a natural-born citizen. He gave up his citizenship, natural-born citizenship, when he was adopted in Indonesia. His father was Kenyan, which should have disqualified him from the beginning. And he's lied about being born in Hawaii. So the entire public life of Barack Obama is nothing but a lie. And it has to be protected by the mainstream media, because the mainstream media doesn't want the American people to know we've got a political media. The First Amendment is largely dead.
Now, I want to get any other points you've got to make on this subject and then shift gears on something you predicted more than a decade ago, this derivatives induced global meltdown, and then also how Iran ties into this. You were on with us, I don't know, 3-4 months ago, and you said, look, you're going to see more covert actions inside Iran. The war has already begun. Now that idea that the war is actually going on for a while is now basically admitted.
Yes, that's right. And but, you know, just to go back to the finish off on Obama, what I want people to be aware of is not only is Georgia, the state where the Obama's right to be on the ballot is being contested, is not being eligible. There's like five other states. I think there's going to be eligibility challenges in every state. Just takes one voter in a state to challenge the eligibility. And also, Sheriff Arpaio in Maricopa County is conducting a law enforcement investigation of Obama's birth certificate and of his eligibility to be president.
And notice as soon as that started, the feds basically raided him for human rights violations.
And the feds came down on him. And look, this entire Department of Justice in Arizona is a corrupt office. You've got a corrupt Department of Justice in Washington that's got a political agenda to open the borders.
Wait, I gotta stop you. It's not enough to call them corrupt with Fast and Furious. This is a group of larcenous criminals. Even CBS News admits they launched Fast and Furious to blame the Second Amendment, and it's killed thousands in Mexico and at least 3 police and 2 Border Patrol here.
Yeah, the idea was to argue that the guns in the Mexican drug war were sold to them from the United States so as to limit the Second Amendment. I've got the evidence. I've written about that. The Mexican government was saying 80% of the guns are coming from the United States. It was all a lie. That was why Fast and Furious occurred. But now it's money laundering. The border is not about illegal immigrants. The border is about $2 trillion of money laundering going through the U.S. and world banks with the complete understanding and cooperation of the American government. I'm about to release that information. But look, the Arpaio investigation, which is going to come out on Obama, I think is going to be the first law enforcement investigation. It's being done very seriously. And the sheriff has said we're going to have the results of that in February. So that results are coming forward very quickly. And that's, I think, going to be another report where the American people are going to get more of the truth from a genuine, honestly done law enforcement investigation. And I'm very much anticipating what that result is going to be.
All right, Doc. We are too. Let's shift gears now into the economy and then segue into your view on where the Iran situation is going.
Well, as I predicted again, you're right. I've been writing about this meltdown. My Red Alert newsletter at WND.com. I've been doing everything I can to tell people that what we've got now is essentially an international Ponzi scheme. We're printing money. We printed trillions of dollars of money. Barack Obama's got $6 trillion in deficit. And increasingly, I'm believing that's good for the global elite because they figured out how to steal through money laundering a portion of all the debt that's created. I think that's really what this is about. Secondly, there's no way $6 trillion of debt created by Obama in 3 years, when it took the history of the Republic to get $10 trillion in debt accumulated. This is a conscious plan to undermine the economies of the world, to say what we need is a world, one world currency, a one world bank. It's just like Europe. The euro ought to break up. Greece ought to cause the first country to leave the euro. Instead, the globalists are pouring trillions of dollars in Europe. The Federal Reserve just put $1 trillion into Europe.
And using the crises they created to grandstand as the saviors and say, countries are going to waive all their rights now to this financial group. So yes, it's an open financial dictatorship of the international banking cartel. That's exactly what Barry Goldwater said the Trilateral Commission was trying to set up in his 1970s book with no apologies.
Well, and it's what, again, I point to with Greece. Greece has just been told by Germany that the European Union will now take sovereign control out of Greece's hands on their own budget. And it will be the European Union that can intervene and tell Greece what it can and cannot do with its government operations. The EU is taking over Greece. And that was the plan from the beginning. Now, the only thing is, I think that the globalists are going to finally overextend and bankrupt themselves, because I don't see how this house of debt can sustain itself any longer. And the solution is not going to be to go to a global currency or a global international monetary fund controlled economy worldwide. It's going to be to break up and to go back to national economies and local economies. The Americans have got to understand, when I wrote America for Sale and warned that the globalists were going to create this crisis to try once and for all to get global control of the economy, and we've got to fight it by saying, let's go back to the 10th Amendment. Let's say where government is overextending, it is no longer exerting legitimate powers. I'm expecting the United States is closer to a breakup than it's been since the Civil War. And we're going to find in the next 4 years states saying they don't want to participate anymore with the federal government. Use the 10th Amendment. Tell the federal government to take back welfare, take back the schools. The state will run its own schools. And those states which go this path of the 10th Amendment, you know, basically calling it a return to the 1776 nation. And I think it's the only thing that's a chance to save us from the globalism that will ultimately enslave every person on the planet.
Well, I mean, the globalists are so ridiculously transparent. I mean, they're running everything. They're standardizing everything. They're attacking every form of liberty. They're taking over even cities inside the U.S. and having them jack up power rates for carbon taxes and paying it to GE. Every week, it's billions of bailout money to move General Electric's X-ray division to China or General Motors to China or Brazil. I mean, these people, they're not even just globalists. They really hate America, and they always claim, oh, we're doing it for America. No, they want to fully bankrupt this country. Why is that, Dr. Corsi?
Well, you got to follow the money. Take a look at these cases like Solyndra and these other energy cases. Everybody involved knew that these were going to be bankrupt. And if the technologies worked, China would come in and do them cheaper anyway. But the people behind these companies over and over again are backers of Obama, people who have indebted their whole career to the globalist elite. And they get a payday. They get a payoff. And, you know, even the banks and money laundering, you get penalties. Well, major banks reserve a couple $1 billion for paying money laundering penalties. It's the price of doing business.
And I would go to jail,
right?
But Wells Fargo and Goldman Sachs, and of course,
none of them are going to go to jail. Criminal penalties are going to get waived. They'll pay a couple a couple billion dollars in fines, which is a cost of doing business.
But who's Wells Fargo caught with the $376 billion in laundered drugs? Bloomberg reported in just 2 years, they paid a $111 million fine. That's less than 0.3% on hundreds of billions. And look, it's Warren Buffett, who just shut down the big pipeline from Canada to bring us oil. Bloomberg again reported, this is admitted, that Buffett is now going to make huge profits off the trains taking it to the West Coast to ships to China. I mean, these people openly are waging war against our country.
Well, that's what people got to realize. Well, we're running trillions of dollars of deficits. There's hundreds of billions of dollars being stolen by the global elite and put on the taxpayers as debt. When you get a situation where there's a major drug war going on in Mexico, $2 trillion of the Mexican drug business is no good in $100 bills. You know how much $1 trillion and $100 bills weighs? You can't move it. You've got to get it into the banking system. The bankers provide it. The regulators allow it. The Federal Reserve is in on it. And occasionally they slap their wrists with
it. And they see everybody else just trying to live as competition, so they write laws they're exempt from to shut us down. It's called monopoly crony fascism.
You're going to have two classes. You're going to have those who are in on the deal and who shut up and do extremely well. And then everybody else who's going to be facing unemployment, bankruptcy, starvation, you know, ridicule, but if you dare oppose it, but if you dare speak out like I do, Alex, or like you do, then you run risk of being marginalized.
Remember the car dealerships? They said if you're a Chevy dealership, this came out in Congress 3 years ago, nobody got in trouble. If you own a car dealership and aren't a Democratic Party donor, we're taking your dealership from you, in some cases worth $3 to $5 million, and giving it to our people. And people were sent letters and told, you no longer are a Chevy dealership now that the government owns this. We're giving this to somebody else. You still own, you know, the land. You better sell some other cars now. I mean, these people are open mafia dons.
It's same with you're ridiculed as a birther because you dare ask for proof of Barack Obama's nativity. Well, the Democrats weren't birthers when they were questioning John McCain. It's entirely political, a double standard, and this attempt to marginalize. Who says the mainstream media controls what issues can be talked about in the public arena and which cannot be talked about?
But wait a minute. This is right out of Atlas Shrugged.
Yes.
Where in the movie, they're shutting down the people trying to keep the country going to give it to their monopoly buddies. This is right out of the book, shutting the pipeline down.
And it's going on that way on the international scene. It's the entire Federal Reserve sending $1 trillion to buoy up the European Union, so the globalist scheme can advance a few more months without collapsing. And it's 1984 because they rewrite history. So now, okay, we've written Barack Obama's entire history, starting from Dreams for My Father, is nothing but a lie. He says it's fictionalized, characters are made up. We get the documents and we find out the Immigration Naturalization Service, when Barack Obama was born, did not believe his parents were married and did not believe Barack Obama Sr. was the father. And they say very clearly that if Ann Dunham, the mother, tries to extend Barack Obama Sr. as the supposed father's visa stay on this basis, we're going to investigate it and deny it.
And that did even come out in the mainstream news, as you know, last year. You talked about it before, and we had as well. But, I mean, here's the thing. How do they think they're going to get away with this long term? Because everybody I know is waking up. Are you seeing the same thing happen?
Increasingly. I think, Alex, your show's never been more popular. My books have never sold better. Even the book that Esquire tried to say was, you know, repressed and we withdrew it, a complete lie. White House released the birth certificate, still became a bestseller, and we still sold 100,000 copies. It's still selling very well right now and will again when the further information, these eligibility hearings start happening state by state, when the Arpaio report comes out at the end of February on the birth certificate and Obama's eligibility. The issue is not going away. The lie will not get buried. And Barack Obama's got to realize that eventually the truth will out.
You're right. We're about to go to break. Got a short 5-minute segment on the other side. I want to get into Iran with you. And if you can go till 2:05, because our next guest is coming up at 8:00 next hour, two short little segments coming up. I want to look at Iran, regardless of what side of this you're on. I'm not on any side. I don't want to have war, but it's just going that direction. We're going to get your view on how that's going to affect things on the other side. Dr. Jerome Corsi's our guest. He writes for WorldNetDaily.com, WMD.com. We're, of course, Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Reuters is reporting today that India is saying they may start buying their gold in rupees. They had said last week it would be in gold that they would buy oil. But now they're talking about using rupees to buy oil. You've got this pressure to shut off the oil exports of Iran. They then import a lot of their gas in. Iran looks like they could be breaking a little bit and saying, okay, we'll let the IAEA UN inspectors back in. Israel says Iran's bluffing about blocking the strait. All of this is just really getting to a fever pitch right now. And the globalists, they want a new war because that'll create a political diversion for them while they're setting up this economic dictatorship in Europe. And that's not my words. That's the Financial Times of London, the big victory that Europe's agreeing to sign over all their rights to this receivership body of bankers from Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, and others who engineered the collapse and who are profiting from it. So it's basically like Bernie Madoff becoming president because he ripped people off, or making Ken Lay your leader. But where do you see this going with Iran, and how does it tie into all these other factors? It looks like things are quickening everywhere.
Well, it's remarkable. I mean, since I wrote Atomic Iran in 2005, I think right now what I predicted, going back to 2005, is just beginning to happen. I think we're already in a war. The war has already started between Israel and Iran. All of these assassinations of Iranian scientists, the suspicious explosions in Iranian nuclear facilities, the cyber attacks on the Iranian nuclear energy industries. This is all orchestrated out of Israel, and my guess is also with the help of U.S. intelligence. The war has already started. It's a covert war. It's a shadow war. It's going to break out into a shooting war any day. All the signs are there. Iran is not going to be able to long sustain a real oil embargo. And the EU has said within 6 months they're going to begin embargoing Iranian oil. Israel has been recently, last few days, saying they think this year there will be a nuclear weapon created in Iran, and that it may quickly reach the point when it's too late to attack Iran. These are clear signals that Israel is saying a preemptive strike now against Iran is around the corner. And the green light has to have been given by the White House, despite Obama having supported, I believe, radical Islamic interests all through the Middle East.
By the way, I saw the text of a Council on Foreign Relations talk that happened a few weeks ago that was an addendum to the article about it's time to hit Iran. And they were in there discussing, well, we're going to hit Iran, but we've got to be ready to absorb their counterstrike and do nothing. And people were all gasping. I don't see the United States and Israel when they attack, or Israel attacks, when Iran responds, not responding back. I mean, that sounds delusional.
I agree. See, Alex, I've been working, people say, oh, I'm a warmonger, I'm in support. I've been working since 2005 to try to prevent a war. I think a war is the most disastrous thing here. Iran has a right to nuclear energy technology. We've lacked a way to work with Iran. Iran is crafty. I think this recent round of new negotiations and inspections that Iran's going to offer are simply a way of Iran buying more time. Iran has wanted a nuclear weapon, and they've been on loggerheads with Israel. And the war is now inevitable. When it occurs, it's going to be a regional, if not a global war.
Hold on. We're back in 1 minute. I want to hear from your deep research how you think this is going to go once the war starts, what some of the different scenarios are that run from bad to worse. We'll only have 5 minutes with you. We appreciate your time. He writes for WorldNet Daily. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com. After he leaves us, researcher Alan Watts joining us. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, you know, I even forgot we have calls on the birth certificate. I open the phones up. I am so bad. From John Brennan and others. And I got Dr. Corsi on and got into Iran. Briefly, what are some of the scenarios? How do you see this starting? And what do you see Iran doing?
Well, I see almost any day now we can wake up and find out that Israel's launched a preemptive military airstrike against Iran. It could happen any day now. And when it's not just going to be one strike, it's going to be an air campaign. It may even involve missiles. I would say that over a period of time, it could become nuclear on Israel's point. Israel could use some of its tactical nuclear weapons. Within hours of the first strike, Hezbollah in Lebanon will certainly launch attacks against northern Israel. Hamas in the Gaza will launch rocket attacks. Perhaps Egypt will join. You'll have a regional war within 24 hours. And the regional war will be unpredictable. There's going to be thousands of people killed, because Iran has the capability of launching missiles, even conventional missiles, and killing thousands in Israel.
And you're going to have sympathetic responses by people in Israel who aren't coordinated or under any flag. They're going to start stabbing, shooting, and blowing stuff up.
And you're going to have other involvement. Saudi Arabia is going to may or may not just stand by. Russia may or may not just stand by. Russia's certainly not going to see Iran defeated by Israel without some involvement. It's unpredictable. It's like what happens in 1914, or you get a World War
I. Yeah, that's how a lot of people describe it, as a big roll of the dice. And, yes, of course, I've also read that Iran's probably got a lot of stuff under their hat that they've gotten from the Russians and Chinese.
And don't rule out attacks in the United States. You've still got al-Qaeda elements, Hezbollah elements that are active and available in the United States. It may not be a massive attack like a 9/11, but there's certainly the capability of having retaliation terrorist strikes within the United States once the war in Israel, between Israel and Iran.
And to be specific, I mean, you don't mean the type of al-Qaeda Obama used in Libya. You mean people affiliated with Wahhabists. But I mean, yeah, expanding on that, the Iranian head of intelligence, as you know, a month ago, said they would launch attacks in Tel Aviv and in the U.S. asymmetrical. That's quite an escalation there, because now the establishment could do a false flag and blame Iran. That doesn't sound too crafty by Iran on my part. I mean, I know they are smart, but that doesn't sound smart.
Well, it's why it's unpredictable, because retaliation or a step taken by either Israel or Iran, once a war starts, could escalate it. Because it leads to a miscalculation, a retaliation, another step.
But that's my point. Clearly that was fake, with the guy wanting to use car salesman to kill the ambassador. But then you have the head of their intelligence saying, we'll do stuff like that. I mean, clearly that would really help Obama if this war starts. That'll give him an excuse to grandstand, crack down on the general population.
No question. Freedoms will be lost in this, as they have been in every war, and that'll be calculated. But also, people shouldn't step back and think, oh, this is a war that Israel's just going to automatically win. This is not a board game. It's not a, it's not a computer game. It's not calculated how it's going to turn out in any way that you could.
The Iranians are a lot bigger threat than Iraq.
And the Iranians are highly intelligent, very well trained and equipped, capable of doing massive damage. Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hamas in Gaza are going to be coordinated. They've been funded and trained by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard was causing us trouble in Iraq.
Israel couldn't even defeat small contingents of them in Lebanon.
Well, it's possible. Iran's already put components of its nuclear program in Iraq, and we haven't known about it. It's possible that Iran has made agreements with Latin American countries that we don't need know about to come to the
Well, Doc, we're going to obviously have to have you back up. This is just out of control. And you're saying it could happen anytime.
Any day. And it's unpredictable, uncontrollable. And I pray it won't happen. I've done everything I can to stop it, but it's going to happen.
All right, you're awesome. And I apologize to the callers. Love to get them on with you next time. But I'll go to the callers with our next guest.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, we're going to be talking to author, researcher, talk show host Alan Watt here in a moment. Here's some of the breaking world news. European leaders adopt treaty pledging debt reduction, but when you actually read deeper into it, it says that the countries are agreeing to waive what rights they have left and promise to raise taxes and pay basically almost everything to the private mega banks that engineered the collapse. And they're calling it a victory for Merkel over fiscal treaty. So that transfer of power looks like they're agreeing to it. Senate bill will force radiation testing of TSA scanners. TSA has been caught lying about radiation levels and claiming they've been tested. They violate federal law already, so they're having a new law saying they've got to follow the law. How about you? See, that's what happens when agencies are out of control. That article's at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Very important to get that out. Obama confirms U.S. drone strikes in Pakistan. That'll just make the so-called ally that much more angry with their 100-plus nukes. Opposition leader wants Syrian president and his family sodomized and murdered. And I guess they did do that with Gaddafi, so that's what the al-Qaeda forces do. The al-Qaeda admitted al-Qaeda group leader has said that and is funded by the West. We've got to give all our rights up because al-Qaeda might attack us any minute. EU to spend 3 million euros promoting insects as alternative source of protein. And they're telling school kids you won't be able to eat meat in the future. Haaretz is reporting, Perez says Iran's evil leaders must not be allowed to gain nuclear weapons. And Israel barreling towards a new war. Currency warfare, what are the real targets of the EU oil embargo against Iran? That is just some of the news we have on that front, and I want to get our guest take on that. And I know that I said I'd take calls earlier with the last guest. He had a connection problem. We got him on about 15 minutes late, so we never had time to get to your calls. I will take calls, some for Alan Watt, your questions, your comments, the toll-free number to join us. I see James is holding, but the phones, we're opening the phone system back up, 800-259-9231. And one more thing, we're going to end tomorrow the yearly Early Bird special to watch the nightly news, to see all my films, my book, Paul Watson's book, the podcast, the video podcast, commercial-free, all of it there, the special events, everything at prisonplanet.tv or InfoWarsNews.com. Both URLs will take you there. You can get 44% off on a yearly membership now, but that is going to end sometime tomorrow. So if you haven't used that, but we'll continue the 15-day free trial at prisonplanet.tv. And we couldn't build this infrastructure and do any of this without your support. We want to thank you so much. All right. His website's cuttingthroughthematrix.com, and he is a musician, researcher, and just has an incredible grasp on all things inside this global New World Order system. Really, this attempt to construct an alternative technological system for the elite and to insert us more and more into an artificial habitat where every facet of our lives are controlled, drugs and chemicals added to the food and water, GMO forced on us. Like I was covering earlier, New Jersey and Arkansas passed laws to forcibly inoculate. Well, California's passed a law to inject your kids without your consent. This is to forcibly inoculate our bloodstream with the deadly sodium fluoride on record that they know is killing people. So when you start getting control of your cities and saying no, they're coming and saying, we're going to force it on you. And they're now, the American Medical Association came out last week and said, we want to forcibly inoculate the public as well. So they're really taking the velvet glove off the iron fist. Alan, I didn't talk to you before you came on with us. I got a lot of stuff I want to ask you. But out of the gates, what is front and center on your radar screen?
Well, we're definitely going to war with Syria and Iran in whatever order they choose. It may be at the same time, in fact. And, of course, at the same time, at home, we're going into massive austerity, which is to be the world system from now on. And even the Federal Reserve headman there said that you're going to see inflation for 20 years inside the U.S., gradual inflation. And so that means that by the end of 20 years, everything is going to be double the price or more. So we're going into a planned long ago, by the way, planned austerity for the whole world, while your disposable income goes to taxes and fees to fight wars and to redistribute the wealth across the world. The Marxian concept is here and implemented. And, of course, everyone thinks that Marxism was completely opposed to capitalism, and nothing is further from the truth. Capitalism and communism were set up by the same boys. It's a dialectic process. So that they're bringing together their plan exactly as Lenin said they would be. That Lenin said that the communist system would eventually, after a generation, about 70 years or so, change and stop being so insular in Russia. And then it would spread into the West, and the two would merge and become something in between capitalism and communism. Well, this is it, folks. You're here already. And it was planned long before you were born. These guys make long, long-term plans, and they always pull them off.
And by the way, you're not just saying this. They admit it's beautiful to have a post-industrial world. We're going to shut you down so you can't afford to have children. We're going to force drug you. In Austin, they've announced carbon taxes, 80% increase in power bills, and they said it's for the earth, and we're going to pay it to a foreign company.
Right.
It's just we're doing this because we want to, and we've gotten leaks out of Bilderberg and other groups where they say people are too uppity, we want to make you poor. Isn't that just feudalism?
It is feudalism, but again, we're told this by the historian for the group that created capitalism and communism, Carl Quigley. He said that this new feudal system would be the new feudal overlords in the feudal system of the world would be the CEOs of the international corporations working with government, and that's what you have. It's already here. It's been here for quite some time, and we see that with the big banking companies going across the world, just plundering and taking everything over. They're into every country in the world. Literally, it's a private organization that runs the world, and democracy is simply a front to get the radical groups, which they pay, by the way, the NGOs, to protest and demand that we go into the system even quicker and faster, into the same utopia where we share our wealth with the whole planet, basically. So there's to be no favorites in this new world order. Every country's to be leveled to the same extent pretty well. We see the same thing happening with your medical system in the U.S. The Rand Corporation was hired to do a study to see what Obama's care would be like. Who should they choose as a model to copy? They copied Britain. Britain's National Health Service is an utter disgrace. You can't get cataracts treated nowadays. Have to go elsewhere to get them done. Can't get knee operations done, things like that. And yet the U.S. is to copy that, and they're closing down wards and hospitals across the U.S. right now, and it's been kept very quiet. So you're really going into a state where you'll be at the level of the Philippines eventually, once they're finished.
Continue.
Well, the CFR, people keep missing the Council on Foreign Relations, which is just one branch of the Royal Institute of International Affairs, which is the big world order system. They connect all the corporations together. They have their members in IBM right across the board and all the big banking systems. And they also have all their members staffing the Bank for International Settlements, which is the bank which oversees all central banking for every country. And they own all the media. And they tell us where they're taking us and how fast they're going. And they even give you time levels for implementations of different parts of this big agenda. And they're all for carbon taxes, for austerity. And they have no problems at all about literally eliminating what's left of what's called the middle classes. And you're already replaced. We have all replaced the middle class, really, by technocracy. Technocrats really are running the show. They'll be kind of semi-important, but the general middle classes are gone. If you go back even further to a high member of the same organization, Margaret Thatcher, she said that eventually, she says, we'll eliminate all small private businesses. It'll be only international corporations, and that's the way it'll be. And she made it almost impossible to run a small business because half the day you were doing paperwork for the government. So it's the same in the States right now, Canada, elsewhere across the world. We're also seeing countries sell off their national assets. Greece and New Zealand is doing it too. Other countries are following. Rothschild himself put forward the bill in Britain last year to sell off the British roads to private international corporations. So we're interdependent, in other words. There are no real nations anymore, as Von Rompuy said in his speech.
And just to insert something here, backing up what you're saying again, I remember a decade ago and then a few years ago and then again just last week, in the U.S., Europe, and England, Australia, New Zealand as well, they've cut the white-collar crime and the investigators for tax evasion for billionaires. They don't exist. And they've put them on small businesses. And now they announced last year they're going to focus on blue-collar, who almost, you know, pay no income tax just so there's no enforcement. And it turns out all the rich guys pay almost no taxes. Then they double back and say, raise taxes on the rich. It's not fair, but the proposal only raises it on the middle class. I mean, it is so diabolical. They are harassing. IRS tells small businesses, we don't like you. We like big companies. We're going to shut you down.
Yeah. And they are shutting them down, too, and really going after them in every single country. There's no exception. Because it's a world order. People think, well, it can't be the whole world. Yes, it is the whole world. It's a world order. And every country signed on to this world order at the end of World War II when they signed the charter and the treaties at the United Nations in San Francisco. So it's this is all part of this ongoing new world order, a form of Marxism, basically, for the people. And Britain, as you know, Britain is the big flagship for testing communitarianism, where literally you displace your local councils, elected councils, and you now have appointed technocrats, basically, that already belong.
Let's explain that. Let's explain that, Alan, on the other side, and get into the superflu, SOPA, and more. Think about the magnitude of all over the world now trying to forcibly inoculate and forcibly fluoridate water as cities, states, and counties, and sub-states, and jurisdictions wake up to it. Think of how horrible it is they're trying to do all these home and farm inspections now with this new bureaucratic class to eat out people's sustenance. I remember reading an article in the Austin American Statesman about 15 years ago, where Tyson Chicken had thousands of violations at one plant alone, but a smaller plant had one violation and got shut down. And that's even in an establishment publication, they admit that. That's what this is all about, shutting everything down. And what's out of control is they want to shut it down to get you impoverished so you're on welfare, living at subsistence levels so they can force vaccines and things on you. They force those on people to get their welfare so they can basically soft kill you. And Alan, they've got a problem, though. More and more it's coming out that they've got cures for cancer but won't let people have it, that the vaccines are killing people. People are waking up to the global banksters. I'm seeing all sorts of awakenings happening. And I know you're usually a little pessimistic because you realize how organized this is, but I do see a challenge to these globalists.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, though, you've got to remember at all times, everything that you're experiencing now because of the agendas going forth and released into the news, everything was planned many, many years ago, including, I mean, they have 1,000 think tanks working on every aspect of society, including how we'll react to the news 10 years down the road when they release something. And they go through it like a chess game. Okay, they'll react this way. How can we counter that? They work it all out abstractly before they actually go into action and do it. And so they've got pretty well everything figured out. And we are easily distracted as well. And to be honest with you, these guys are not going to give up after working at this for well over 100 years in the open. it's called the Open Conspiracy, according to H.G. Wells, well over 100 years, that are going to give up because people start to protest. They've been building internal armies up in every major country.
Well, no, speaking of H.G. Wells, he said there's going to be a lot of beautiful, well-meaning people we're going to have to kill for the New World Order.
That's right. He says many decent people will die protesting this New World Order, die in vain. That's what he said. So,
and you're right. They're militarizing. The TSA is there to train you, mm-hmm. to let us grab your children's crotch in front of you. It just totally break your will. It's absolutely criminal, but they just do it.
Yeah, and also, too, he talked about they would make a military class. And, of course, we have a military class now. It's so easy to get young guys and indoctrinate them into being separate from the general public. It's old techniques, of course, but very, very effective. And in Britain, they're training the paratroopers, who are shock troops, to deal with the next demonstrations in Britain.
And remember, before they wanted to announce all this, we were conspiracy theorists to get the documents. Now it's just, oh, yeah, the Marines are training to take your guns and kill you. We'll secretly arrest you. Yeah, the paratroopers, you know, BBC, are preparing to, and it shows them searching women on the side of the street. Yeah, the TSA is going to stop you at checkpoints. And they take these young men, tell them you're part of the elite. They're hiring all the Boy Scout Explorer Scouts in the news, and they're training to kill veterans.
Yes, there's no doubt about it, and they're quite open with everything. Most folk, of course, most people who are outside, say, Patriot Radio, they go into disbelief. They hear it, but it's not real to them. They can't imagine. It's unreal, and so they dismiss it.
Let me stop you again. Yeah. When it came out about 5 years ago, they were training the Explorer Scouts in every drill to take on gun owners, farmers, people dressed up literally in John Deere outfits and overalls. I would have Explorer Scout people call me going, we are trying to take on extremists, but you're anti-scout. So I'm right about this, but I'm still bad. Or it can't be true. And then when it came out, well, it's okay. And then now it's in the New York Times and other publications. It shows little boys training to kill veterans and training to kill guys dressed up in John Deere outfits. I mean, they train them to kill farmers. If you're into freedom and self-sufficient, they're training giant armies of children who are now many of 19 from the first wave of training to kill you.
Yes. And again, this technique was intensely studied by the West, of course, that worked with the Soviets. And the Soviets always say that you go for the child first and you make sure they're yours. It's quite easy, again, to indoctrinate a child, and they are yours for life.
I've got the old newscast where it showed the tax police are orphans, and they train kids from age 5 up to 20 to beat people up for the tax money.
Yes, and also the CIA, of course, were instigating in Cambodia. And we know what they did there. They trained, it was the young children they gave the machine guns to, and to blast.
Let's talk about that when we come back. Yeah, just the Boy Scouts are being taken over. Guys, type in during the break. Girl Scouts and Brownies trained to fight terrorists. And the little girls are trained to spy on mommy now. But it's for the homeland after all. It's for Uncle Chertoff and Mr. Napolitano. Friends, we have the partnership announced a few years ago with the Girl Scouts and Homeland Security, the preparedness patch. And then if you read deeper into it, you then discover it's spot terrorists and trained to fight terrorists. But the girls are mainly the good little spies. And of course, then I have footage from 1998 in Hebron, Maryland and other places in Police State 2000 of young children training to go in their parents' houses, can come back and report to regular Marine Corps. This is on video, what guns they own. And since then, we've seen drills in Arcadia, Iowa, you name it, that literally have mind control in them. The article says they're training with the local gun shop owner with the 670-something residents to go door-to-door looking for guns they're going to pre-hide in a drill for civil emergency and, you know, for domestic operations. Then they have the drill. I talk badly of it. And And they say in the news, I'm a conspiracy theorist because I don't like it. Alan Watt, that's the new level of control where they admit we're right, but then say we're a conspiracy theorist for not liking it.
Yeah, they're using a herd instinct, and they talk about this too, how the most folk want to comply with government. Most people do, unfortunately. And for those who comply, whatever you do is against government, is therefore bad, naturally. So goody-two-shoes, and they're all trained to be goody-two-shoes. They're trained at school, of course, in groupthink, too, where there's no dissension. You almost come to a common agreement. And so everyone wants to be the same as everyone else. And government is good. They've watched all the movies. How many movies are out there to do with Homeland Security, stopping spies, all fast-paced dramas, Eagle Eye, all these kind of things. And they think this is fantastic, youngsters. And apart from that, though, too, there's a lot of pre-programming went on, predictive programming. Even in the 90s in Canada, you had a series here where youngsters got together and formed their own spy group and spied on all their neighbors and their parents.
When I go to the toy store, like half the toys are spies.
Yeah.
And spy on your parents. It's fun. You're a secret agent.
Mm-hmm. And this is the same technique that they use again.
By the way, almost all the toys, I never see them that say USA or anything. It's always UN Defense Force. But the G.I. Joe type guys don't have smiles on their faces now. They've all got like, looks.
Well, Plato said it. He said that if something works in a generation, whatever formula works to make the culture go one way, as long as you know the formula, you can reintroduce it down the road. It will always work again. This is the same techniques the Soviets used with the Young Communist League, where parents daren't say anything in front of their children wearing their little communist uniforms. Same in the Nazi system. Parents were terrified when their children joined the Hitler Youth, and they were told to spy on their parents and turn them in. It will always work with children, and they know this at the top. You know, they're the masters of war. They've been doing this for centuries. So it's a very dangerous time for everyone. I mean, I've had parents, you probably had it too, who've called me and have actually said that they're afraid of their child.
Oh, that's the system. And then they come in their black uniforms and sit around the kitchen table. I've read about this in every culture, and the parents grovel and the kids get off on it. And kids now are told, I can report you for spanking me. I can report you for what you said. I saw a case a few years ago where they took a guy's kids because he said, don't trust the police in Round Rock. Don't trust the government and don't take shots if they tell you to. And it was on the news that, well, CPS has taken the children because the police say he said, don't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was on the news. Yeah. And boy, I later heard those kids were absolutely in hell because once they were with the little pedophile rapers, they found out, you know, people find out once they get in the clutches. You thought mommy and daddy were bad? Now you're going to meet a pot-bellied rapist.
Yes. And George Orwell also put this in 1984, his book and the movie, where the youngsters are dressed up with little outfits and they're maybe around 7 years old, and they're saying to Winston, oh, you're a thought criminal. You're a thought criminal, aren't you? We're going to report you. And so they surely go around terrifying everyone who's an adult. And this is the way they're getting raised in school. And so, see, America itself and every other country, too, is divided in many different sections. And part of it is between young children and the even older children. They've got a different indoctrination. So there's about three or four indoctrinations on the go at the same time with different generations. And that's part of the problem. But it's been orchestrated this way, and it's all managed this way by those who oversee the whole system. So,
well, take the TSA pedophile training force. I mean, all these psychologists have come out and said, oh, it's training kids. That's how a pedophile will touch to test to see if the kid will go along with it. This is totally screwing kids up. The grabbing the women's breasts, going in the pants, radiating everybody. And, of course, we knew this was the plan, but now they're going on the streets, the highways. It's clearly a program to train us. We have absolutely no rights, and the state's going to put their hands on us. And now the cops take the blood. That's training them for medicalization. I remember a decade ago they couldn't get the cops to carry out forced inoculation, so they said, we'll get them to do other medical stuff first to create that. So now they're going to be medical enforcement officers.
Yes. And they've even had that in science fiction movies for the last 42 years, this would come, because these guys are all picked, of course, for predictive programming, too. But we're in it now, and you're under martial law, and they're training the public, just training the public, that's all it is, into complete obedience and fear of reprisal if you don't comply. It's incredible. Even the situations in the main stations, the train stations in New York, places like that, with the screens everywhere, running these little promos about Homeland Security and, oh, we have 200 agents right now, amongst you right now in this place. And you might
and only trust government, long. Only telescreens at Walmart and Mall of America and town squares, like out of a dystopic nightmare science fiction movie. Watch everyone, only trust us. What's your neighbor doing? Your children being trained.
That's right.
Little discount credit cards given to them. Oh, report on your parents. And I have those promos. I've played them. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it all with a completely, totally straight face to everybody. It is so incredibly diabolical, and they're pushing it into overdrive right now. Why is that?
They're pushing it into overdrive because they have talked about more riots, but they have further plans to crash us again economically and to get us down to the proper level of austerity, you see. You still have it too good right now. You can still afford an ice cream once in a while. So you got to come down much further because they want all that extra cash from that you spend on yourself.
More importantly, they can buy you. Once you're totally broke back in your hierarchy of needs and are starving, you'll do whatever you're told.
You know, food is a weapon, of course, and I've said that at the Ministry of Agriculture, the United Nations, that they're willing to use. Actually, the UN has used food as a weapon. That's what the embargoes on
Iran. Memorandum 200. The Onion came out this week and said it's great, let's kill billions of people and let's mow down Africans. But in the real world, the New York Times was reporting, hey, the UN's mowing down people for their land. It's for the earth. Maybe it's good.
That's right.
Mowing down. And it's a little trendy.
They're really going after the farmers, small farmers. There's very few small farmers left, really. It's all big agri-farm. Five corporations run the world, all the food supply. And in Australia, they can't even allow them. They're creating national parks, and they're telling the farmers to get their cattle off them. So there's going to be no meat for the ordinary folk in the future. That is the plan, too, is vegetarian society.
Oh, no, I have a news out of England today where they're teaching kids they're going to eat bugs for protein.
That's right. Oh, yeah, they've been doing that for 4 or 5 years, and the EU has allocated the 3 billion euros to the study of it, or 3 million euros to the study of eating crickets and things. And then you have the Hollywood stars. There's one major Hollywood star who says her children just love these cricket sandwiches. And they always find someone because the people follow the stars, right? So this is the future. It's complete and utter austerity. And then you go back 2 or 3 years and you find the head of the Green Party who said, oh, you know, everybody obeyed in World War II. They had very little money. They didn't mind.
We're going to have carbon rationing cards, and now they're announcing them.
That's it. So I said this in 2001. That's what you'll see. Everything that goes with warfare, you will see at home, including refugees eventually being moved around the country. Yeah.
And it'll be, oh, we got to put these homeless people in the sports stadium. That's already begun. In Tampa and in Northern California, Central California, in Sacramento. You can't have homeless out at night. They got to be locked up. And, oh, we got to arrest the dissenters. They're causing problems.
Yes. And so they are ready for it's not really a planned rebellions they're ready for. They don't believe they're going to be a planned rebellion, but they do believe there'll be spontaneous riots as people who are at the bottom of the ladder get hit even harder.
And then they'll use them to say, see, we got to raise the taxes on the rich. That means somebody making $50,000 a year or $100,000 to pay them. And then all the money siphoned off to the foreign banks, but the unwashed masses don't know because they literally, and I've talked to some of the general public, they can't talk now. The language is gone.
Yeah.
And if you bring up a serious issue, they begin to laugh at you with a pre-programmed response.
That's right. Every response that you see from anyone out there has been either in a comedy or a movie or some soap or whatever.
No, they're not their own person. They live in a playland of arrested development that the psych warfare chief talk about, and they'll repeat something that they think makes them look blingy. Instead of actually being intelligent, it's just all a big fake. And like the yuppies watch the news that's propaganda and repeat it like they're real smart. Oh, yes. Oh.
Yeah. Well, as what Brzezinski said, the public will be unable to reason for themselves. All they'll be able to do is to repeat last night's news to each other. And that was in the 70s he said that. So we're here. We've been here for
a while.
And
men try to impress each other on talk radio about how upset they get for their team. And they just sit around like men 5,000 years ago would talk about defending their village with the same concern, you know, against marauders. It's just like, yeah, man, I tell you, we got to have the Giants win, or I don't know what I'll do. Meanwhile, their kids being fed GMO, they're going to be sterile. They're going to get cancer at age 17, probably. You know, total death, and you know the numbers are increasing. We're being murdered. And you talk to that man, they'll look at you and just laugh because you're not manly. You're not manly, Alan Watt. You don't know how to stand around and go, football, while poison's put in our water and food. I mean, you're just not a man.
That's it. They're all conditioned. But they will obey government. They will obey government.
These guys will bug their eyes out at you and, you know, have their shirts cut off. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, folks. The point is, you see them in the grocery store or whatever, walking around trying to act all sinister. You see these tough guys, when they see a cop, they look like a dog, like groveling, almost rolling. Government. They're just total cowards.
Yeah, they are. And again, they can only act as a mob, you know. So the problem is, as I say, though, that the big boys are ready for all of this. They've planned it. They probably will even set off the riots themselves, spark them off when it's time. And that's their usual thing. They don't wait until people do something. They generally do it because they have the plans and timetables. And then, of course, they'll turn around and say, see, there are crazy folk amongst you out there who are going to riot. And so we need even more security.
Well, in England, which we'd all predicted, the police stood down. And it turned out a lot of those riots were organized, pushed by the media.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And mind you, too, see, every organization is infiltrated. And in every area, they have their instigators living amongst them, by the way. And they go out and drink with them, all these young guys.
Hey, before I knew how bad it was, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago, a few times I worked with a few people locally who later I found out were sabotaging, lying, doing everything you could imagine. Mm-hmm. And it had to be professionally being done. And you're just like, my God, you people are everywhere.
Well, one case came up in Montreal recently. It was a top policeman. It was a policeman, but he was one of the three who had access to all the informers to do with what they call the local mafia in Montreal. It's not an Italian mafia, but it is a mafia. And he was going to turn over 2,000 informant spies in Montreal alone to the mafia. 2,000. And I've told people for years, you don't realize that since the 50s they've had these people placed in.
It's now admitted, the cable person, the phone person, everyone. And I've noticed this, usually they end up being a listener, but a lot of times you can just tell when the person doesn't know whose house they're at and I get home later or whatever. And I mean, you can just see that whoever's in your house, they're casing it, they're looking at things. Mm-hmm. You can see it's a power trip that they're watching you. And it's on record they are, but I mean, you know, nurses at hospitals everywhere, they get off on the little informerness and they get little cuts of juicy too. They get a little money.
That's right. Or a bit of a promotion at work or something. But as I say, this technique is very old and it works very, very well. They know how to bring countries down. They did it with East Germany too. They've had so much experience and everything's documented. It's like a massive laboratory when they do these experiments.
Well, no, Disney World, I was reading, now calls its parks a laboratory. Mm-hmm. And it turns out they taught the Department of Defense how to lock a city down. Because think about it. You're getting in, you're being scanned, you're being controlled, you're being surveilled. Yep. Disney systems are the model of actual what'll be gulags.
Yes, and they had the wristbands too, with the chips in them to get inside.
And biometric scanning, and you're under laboratory scanning. Mm-hmm. Let's go to a phone call. James in Minnesota, then Tara, JD, Noah, and CJ. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, Alex.
Yes, sir.
Do you hear me? Yeah, I wanted to talk about and of course I want to say what a pleasure it is to be on with you. I wanted to talk about a misunderstood subject, which is the separation of powers doctrine, the 10th Article and Amendments. And what I see is that prior to 1939, it was unlawful for the federal government to come in and tax the state employees. And likewise, it was unlawful for the federal government to tax the state employees.
Yeah, the income tax wasn't even really used until 1951. It doesn't run the country. It's all paid to the private offshore banks. Do you have a question for Alan Watt?
Well, this gets into the matter of visitation, okay? And the fact of the matter is that when they passed the Public Salaries Tax Act, that provided for agreements where in any state that entered into an agreement with the federal government could now tax their state employees, and likewise, the states could then tax the federal employees, and it was constitutional because it only applied to the government employee.
That's right. Listen, I got to jump here because we just got limited time with our guest for Wizard Questions for Alan Watt, getting into technical vagaries. Bottom line, the feds are completely criminal, out of control, federalizing everything. I mean, they're really coming out in the open, Alan.
Well, they don't care about constitution or laws. The power is law. That's it. Yeah.
Let's talk to CJ in Michigan. You're on the air, CJ.
Hey, Alex. Hey, Alan. Calling from the prison state of Michigan. I want to ask your guests. I've heard you talk about, Alex, about, the hope and not giving up. I definitely want to tell you that I'm very optimistic. Prophet Muhammad said if you see the end of the world coming and you have a sapling to plant it, that means, keep going to the end. But I talk to people and I get kind of, everyone's so like, I don't know, fluoride head or whatever, but it's hard to be optimistic. Can you point us to some hope?
Alan?
Hope comes from each individual that understands what's happening. The problems occur where you join groups that are pre-made for you to join. Or they're infiltrated immediately and you spun off into another diversion. Individuality can do so much. Like that guy who refused to go to the White House, the sports player. He's an individual who stood up and he said that I speak as an individual. The government is out of control. I will not attend this function. Individuals count.
Stay there. That's right. Individuals count. We'll be right back.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, the official radio show will be over in 5 minutes. This hour will be. And then I'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock. Look, the caller asked a very, very serious question. I'll do a little bit of overdrop to finish these callers with Alan Watt. The caller asked, how do we have hope? Look, you're in this situation. And so even though it's overwhelming and scientific and been very well calculated, you now know about it. And so I think the most important thing is to fully wake up out of the trance that we have been inserted in a planned economy, a more and more planned habitat. They're trying to force us into artificial habitats, controlled compact cities. I live in the country. Alan lives in the country. That's the first instinct. And to try to get to know locals who you can trust to work together, to move forward and expose the people that it's beyond what you can even imagine when you first realize it and how cold-blooded it is. And I think the fact that the system's so over the top, they're able to hide in plain view, but that can also boomerang back against them. Alan Watt.
Yeah, I mean, they've infiltrated right down to the local county level. There's organizations, I mentioned them on the air too, where they graft themselves onto your local council. They just turn up and graft themselves on, claiming they're environmentalists and that no one votes them in. They're just there. Next thing you know, they're writing the laws on what you can do on your land.
And they've got the money of the globalist, and they are basically the Red Terror vanguard investigation agents.
Oh, yes. And many of them are actually retired, early retirement bureaucrats. This is where they go. They're given jobs and full salaries and sell yourself down in a village here or a town there and start up a little
NGO. Oh, we've had that happen everywhere. It's always a retired colonel or a retired bureaucrat, and they literally are spying and harassing everyone. And then everybody kisses their hind end. Oh, leave us alone. We'll put you in power. And then they take over. They're parasite scum.
Yes, that's right. And so we've got to know who they are. Their names are out there. Their organizations are out there. But we're also into this age of technocracy. You understand, the Council on Foreign Relations, as I say, the big branch that helps run the world, they said that they would build a structure around everybody's constitution, which they have. They bypassed it all and overlapped it.
Yeah, they build these bureaucracies and then sign the authority over to that incrementally.
Yes, and then the next step was to do international treaties, binding treaties, that would bring them together.
Take the new internet treaty. Couldn't get SOPA through, just make it a treaty.
Make it a treaty, and then, of course, they make supranational governmental bodies. Well, no person, no individual has had a vote on the creation of the G20, for instance.
Take the real Euro bureaucracy. They have a parliament, but it has no authority. The bureaucrats run it. Let's jam another call. JD in Texas, you're on the air with Alan Watt. Boom, he's gone. Tara in Virginia, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Alex. Hi, Alan.
Hi.
I wanted to say I'm officially awake December 24th, so I'm on a real big learning curve. And I really enjoy everything that you talk about, Alan. You're a great inspiration. I've got an off-topic comment from your Nomi Prince interview yesterday. You know the comment where she said that they're going to start focusing on South America? Mitt Romney was talking about that in a campaign speech yesterday in Florida. Mm-hmm. And it just blew my mind how on spot she was. The Chris Hedges interview was awesome, and it goes a long way to try and bring progressives over to listening to what you've got to say and getting over the whole conspiracy theory thing. They have a hard time with that.
Well, it's a global corporate program, and it is a conspiracy. And when we expose them, they just say it's a theory. But there's no theory. It's just an open conspiracy.
It is open, yeah. It's open. It's taught in schools now that the world, that they're told, youngsters are at the 5 years of age, are told what kind of world they're going to grow up in. Interdependence.
Yeah, and then they got fake environmentalists to cover up the real environmental degradation. We're not saying environmentalists are bad, period. Thank you so much for your call. Great talking to you, Tara. Stay with us. With us for another 5 minutes, let me get into all the other important news coming up. But I don't want to try to get to as many of these calls as we can right now. His website's cuttingthematrix.com. Ours are prisonplanet.tv and infowars.com. I'll be doing a special transmission tonight, 7 o'clock Central. Let's go ahead and go to Noah in California. Noah, you're on the air.
Hello, Alex. I just want to say I love your show and your website. But I had a question. I was just wondering, what moment do you think it's going to take for everyone to be woken up?
Well, everyone will only wake up when literally government comes out to issue ration cards and beat you over the head if you complain. I mean, that's just most folk are under a trance, you understand.
A literal trance, and then you'll be so herded into compact cities with the farms all shut down except for Big Agra, you won't be able to live without them. That's why Forbes said, why is there a war against lemonade stands? Mm-hmm. Why is there a war against people selling pecans? Because it's all getting shut down.
Yep.
And I watch people in public places when cops are bugging their eyes out or security guards, the people get off on groveling and the cops get off on it. And it's just pathetic.
Yep.
I mean, this isn't America. This isn't England. This isn't Europe. This isn't anywhere.
Yeah, and plus, because we live in an era of electronic media, basically, and incredible amounts of entertainment, science fiction, so on, the general public, everything's a blur to them when they come home from night. They just sit there and
people all the time say, I like your show, but you got this from this movie. And I'm like, no, that movie is fictionalizing what's really happening, so you can't differentiate.
Mm-hmm. All reality is showing you what the next step, so that it's familiar to you and you go along with it just like the people.
Yeah,
in the
every science fiction
it.
Movie I see now explains that you're not allowed to have children in the future.
Absolutely.
Without a special license.
Absolutely. There's so many like that too. Either that or a virus comes along and sterilizes us all.
You know what, Alan? I meant to get into this with you, and it's so important. We're going to have you back up very soon. They're really hyping all these weaponized viruses they've got now that they're saying are just going to get out on accident.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll do it when it's necessary. Remember two Rockefeller at the last Lucky Jeans Club meeting they had? They said, we've been doing this steady march for depopulation by abortions and sterilization. He says, but now we must go in to and ramp it up. He says, we've got to create massive, massive death.
Yeah, and by the way, I have the article I meant to get to today, London Times, Billionaire Club and Bid to Curb Overpopulation, says they met in secret, David Rockefeller, Warren Buffett, and others, at the Rockefeller University to try to, with Bill Gates to figure out ways to reduce population faster. Did you know the London Times, you can't find this, they pulled it.
Yeah.
They don't want you knowing, because we're supposed to be told Bill Gates wants to help us.
Well, he's trying to help the people in Africa not to get sick.
He loves them.
Yeah.
He likes them a lot, too, doesn't he?
Well, again, we know what Kissinger said about them back in the 70s when he brought his bill out. About the dangers of the third world exploding in population.
Memorandum 200, we got to kill them, yeah.
That's right, and so they're going ahead with the whole agenda. Everything we're living through right now, as I say, was put on the table and planned 30, 40.
But that's an ace in the hole. The fact that the old-timers warned about all this, people thought, oh, that's a conspiracy, and now it's happening. Light bulbs are going off everywhere, and people are going, wait a minute. I was told exactly this was going to happen 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's our real ace in the hole, Alan, is that people have been there for so long exposing this.
That's right. And again, too, it's a matter of teaching the younger ones and understanding the younger ones have a hard time with holding a concept for any length of time because their attention span has been brought down to such a minimalistic level. So you have to find a way to get things across almost in bits and bytes.
And we got to do it quick. You're right, because they've reduced the language so far down. Young people are either awake or they can't speak.
Yes. Yes.
In fact, it's seen as trendy to not be able to talk now.
And they've been trained, you see, even from cartoons, three-second bytes from movements in a cartoon. Otherwise, the child loses interest now. They've been trained that that's the way it is.
And that's where most of the propaganda is in TV, cartoons, and fiction. That's where they're bombarding you. Sorry to the other callers from Canada, Cliff and Dustin. Get to you next time. That's it for this segment of the transmission. Alan Watt, thank you so much, my friend.
It's been a pleasure, Alex.
All right, been a pleasure having you on. Coming up, Force Fluoridation. Forced bone cancer.